Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson.
Welcome to Boomer Radio. We're excited that you're listening today on Freedom 95, each and every Saturday, 4:30. We love doing this, don't we, Mary Pat?
You betcha.
Would you put your phone down?
I'm not looking
you're
at
like
my phone.
You're like a teenager. Put it down.
Oh.
You're in trouble.
I know.
Linda Mansfield is our guest today, and we're excited to have her on. Linda, welcome to Boomer Radio.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Linda is a local author, and she's done something very unique, I think. She's got four books. Do you have more than these four? Or is this just the start?
No, just these four for now.
For now. Well, tell our listeners what you told me, why we're even doing this interview. I mean, the books are great, but it's the beginning of the year. It's January. What would you like people to do in the new year?
I'd like people to read at least one short story a week in 2018. And I have four books of seasonal short stories. And each book has 13 stories in them. And they're very light reading. It takes 10 to 15 minutes to read a story. And if you put all four books together, 13 times 4 is 52 stories. So you will have a story, one fresh story a week for the whole year of 2018.
Thanks for doing that math for us. I love it. I've got it. I'm doing it. My first story was, I'm saving, well, let me tell them what the titles. I started with the 12 stories for spring because that's going to cover the first quarter, correct? So we do that, and then that's the first book. It's adorable. It's got a picture of some feet with a little flower in there.
Very,
do you see
very
it?
Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. The art's really good.
It's all stock art that I...
Okay. You chose well.
They all have... all the books have pictures of feet.
I love it. It's a good theme.
Sticking up, so that's why I call it the Two Good Feet series.
Well, the summer feet don't look so good. They remind me of my husband's feet, but
that's
okay. Everybody can't have nice feet.
That sort of was on purpose.
Exactly. I figured that.
I wanted to make sure that people realize the stories are for men and women.
Perfect.
So many times they... people think, that's a romance that's going to be for a woman. And these are just general interest stories, and it can be for anybody, teenagers through senior citizens, male or female.
So are they seasonally, are the topics seasonal? In other words?
Yeah.
Yes.
All the topics in each book are seasonal. And some of the story settings are local, like in the spring book, one of the characters goes to an Indianapolis Indians game, I believe, or maybe that was a summer book. I get them a little mixed up myself.
There's a lot of local. There is definitely local references. The story that I was reading today had local references, so you do throw some of that in there.
Yep.
Which is cool.
And they were all written here in Indianapolis. And I just tried to appeal to everyday people who are maybe a little stressed or just need 5 or 10 minutes to relax and take a little break from their busy day, read a short story, and then go on with the rest of their life and then pick it up again a little later. You don't have to remember too much with these short stories. It's all very light reading.
And they're all, 2,000 words or less. So they really are a nice, quick, light read. I love it. Some of the titles of the stories in the spring book, I'm just going to throw a few out there so people get a sense of the variety. Chapter 3 is A Date for the Prom. Chapter 6 is called A Broken Promise. Chapter 8 is called Soul Food. So it runs a gamut of topics.
Yes, and there's some of them are around holidays like Mother's Day and weddings and the Kentucky Derby and the Indy 500 and the start of the fishing season, things like that. In the spring book, there's also a story about an autistic boy because April is Autism Month.
Oh,
so
I put
that in there, too. And they're all fictional,
Where do you get your ideas? Where do you get the ideas if they're...
I'll tell you, that's been the most interesting thing of this project for me, because I'm trained as a journalist, and when I do my other work, I have to make sure everything is as absolutely correct and factually as right as I can actually as make it. And if there's a mistake in it, it's an honest mistake that, you know, I didn't understand something. But in this, I can just let these people do anything and everything.
Yeah.
And I have come up with, I like to people watch, and some of my characters are people that I've seen waiting in lines.
Mm-hmm.
The one little boy that takes a girl to the Kentucky Derby was a kid I saw waiting in line at a Subway for sandwiches. And I know he was looking at me, looking at him, and wondering, why in the heck is this woman looking at me like this? But I was trying to remember everything he was wearing and his just how he looked, because I thought, I can use him. He's my character.
He's a character. And then you give him a name and a backstory and all that stuff. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
What a great imagination you must have. And they're very well written. So I can tell you that you have a journalistic background.
Who did you write for before?
I work full-time in the motorsports field. I own a small motorsports PR firm called Restart Communications, based here in Indianapolis. And I also am a freelance reporter for a publication called National Speed Sport News, or Speed Sport Magazine. And it's like the Bible for motor racing fans.
Interesting.
So that's my background.
So we'll have to tap you again.
Fiction writing has all been very much similar, different pew in the same church, but I really enjoyed stretching myself with it.
A different pew in the same church. Well, we'll have to reconnect in May and talk about, the 500 and different things that you're still active with, if you want to.
All right.
Cool. I bet you've got some stories. Yeah, you start thinking about your Indy 500 stories, and we'll revisit in a month of May for an episode. But back to the books. These are really, really well written, fun. You know, these are, I want to say beach read for me. I told Mary Pat, one of my New Year's resolutions, it's silly, but I want to try to drink green tea every day. And she said, these stories would be perfect. You can make your tea, sit down, and read your story. And I'm like,
works for me.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, it's probably about the same amount of timing, kind of a thing. So
yep.
I like that.
Yep. Or if you're starting an exercise program, you can read it on the treadmill, read one story on the treadmill.
Yeah.
And, you've got 10 minutes in, and then you're almost done.
I like that. Good plan.
And I originally got the idea to write these short stories because I was watching women trying to find parking spaces in local mall around Christmas time, and they were almost getting into fights and accidents as they jockeyed for positions for parking places. And I thought, these women need a time out. They are so so busy and so stressed that they're forgetting the reason for the season. And I thought, if they could just take 5 or 10 minutes to calm themselves down, read a short story, relax, and then go on their way, I think their life and their holiday would be a lot happier. So that's what gave me the idea in the first place.
Where do we pick the books up at?
They're available on Amazon's website and Barnes & Noble's website. Here locally, they're available at Three Sisters in a Trunk Boutique on Main Street and Old Speedway. But if you're going on the online route, if you just put my name, Linda Mansfield, in the search bar, they'll come up. And I have a website, Linda Mansfield Books, too. If you can't find them, just go to that, and there's links there that will bring them up, too.
So I have to ask, are there more stories in the works?
There are.
Once a writer, always a writer. Good.
There are.
Because, after a year, we're going to need some fresh material, my dear.
Okay, well, I'll work on it.
I also am curious to know, how long did it take you to write 4 books? Because that took a while.
Yeah, it was funny. I had no idea if I could even finish one. So the first one that I wrote was the Christmas book. And I got the idea in November, and I had that finished by April.
Wow.
And then the other three took me 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I wanted to make sure that I continued the characters and all the supporting characters. I had to think of stories that would continue the main story that I started in Christmas, but yet would still stand alone. So if people didn't read the Christmas book and didn't know anything about this character from Christmas, they would still enjoy the summer book or the fall book if they read that by itself.
That's smart. So, but should we start with the Christmas book, or we should wait?
Well, no, read them however you feel like reading them. I don't like a lot of rules.
You're our kind of girl. We like that.
If if something appeals to you, and just pick it up and then read it and give it a go. But if you read them in order, the order is Christmas, spring, summer, and fall.
Beautiful.
And I planted a few little seeds in each one as we went along.
Love it.
So that you won't go, it won't really matter for your understanding of the story, but you'll get a little bit more out of it.
Cool.
Some background information.
Wonderful. We're talking to Linda Mansfield. She's written these short stories for you to read, one every week throughout the year. There's 52 of them if you get the whole collection. Again, your website, Linda?
LindaMansfieldBooks.com.
Okay, and it's just spelled just how it sounds. Thanks for being on Boomer Radio today. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it very much, and I hope your listeners will enjoy the book.
Absolutely. I know I am. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks so much.
And you're listening to Boomer Radio on Freedom 95. We'll be right back.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. This is Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
All right. Happy New Year. We're still in January, so we could say that, right?
Yep, we got the whole month.
We've got a wonderful guest, a new guest on the show today. His name is Andy Ray. He's a film critic. In fact, you may have heard and seen him on the arts channel indie.com. He's been doing that for how long, Andy?
Oh, my. Some years. I don't remember.
A while. Well, wonderful. And we met through a mutual friend, and we thought, let's have him on the radio. Why not?
Sure.
Okay. So let's start with... tell me about yourself, first of all. What got you interested in film, in movies and stuff?
Oh, that dates back to when I was in college.
Okay, cool.
I started reviewing on my college radio station way back in the, early 80s.
Yeah.
And then I worked radio professionally and reviewed on a couple stations in central Indiana.
Yeah.
And then I kind of gave it up to have a family, but I started back when the Current and Carmel started. And
that's a magazine, correct?
That's a magazine in Carmel.
Got it.
And now there's a whole Current publishing.
Cool.
They're in Geist.
Well, when they get to the East Side, I'll start reading them.
No. There you go.
So you get it honest. You really love movies. So
yeah, I really do. Yeah.
I do too. I love going to the movies. So I know we've got some fresh material for the year of 2018.
We do, and this is a great time of year for boomers.
It? Okay.
Summer tends to be for the millennials.
Okay.
But here we have Oscar contenders. We just had one called The Post opened last week. That's a Steven Spielberg movie about... how the New York Times broke the Pentagon Papers story back in 1971, Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers.
That's got Meryl Streep, right?
Meryl Streep plays Catherine Graham, who's the publisher of the Washington Post. Spielberg tells this story from the point of view of the Post, not the New York Times. A lot of people don't remember or have forgotten or don't even know, the Washington Post was not always equal to the New York Times.
Interesting.
For many years,
right.
The Times was America's paper. Oh. If there was a big story, we'd be broken in the Times.
Okay.
Ben Bradley was the editor back in the Pentagon Papers, Watergate era, and he's played by Tom Hanks in this. And he's very driven. He's the kind of guy who wants to get in on the Pentagon Papers.
What were the Pentagon Papers? Was that what?
That was about Vietnam.
Vietnam.
It was about Vietnam and how we had known about that we were not going to win this war
for a long time,
dating all the way back to Harry Truman's administration.
Right.
And... after the Times published the first set of Pentagon Papers, the Nixon administration sued them under the Espionage Act.
Wow.
So, therefore, the Post isn't sure they want to publish or not. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be sued. On the other hand, Tom Hanks' character wants to publish. He's all for freedom of the press. Meryl Streep's the one who has to make the decision.
Right.
Yes.
Well, leave that to a good woman. Absolutely.
Of course.
Every time.
I know she's a great actress, but she's better in this than she's been
really?
In a long time.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah,
it's
Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep. What
yeah,
more
you
could
can't
you?
Go wrong with yeah. that. And Spielberg.
Yeah, I will say a few things about it, though. And not Spielberg's fault, but yeah. 2 years ago, we just had Spotlight, which
oh,
was a
right, which
great
was
movie
that was so
on
good.
Investigative
yes,
journalism.
Boston, yes,
this
so
one
good.
Just is not that good, and it comes 2 years later. As far as whistleblowers go, mm-hmm. like Daniel Ellsberg, whistleblower in the Pentagon Papers, we just had Oliver Stone's Snowden last year.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
That was good.
Was it?
I'm not going to say it's better than The Post. If anything, okay. The Post is probably a little slicker, a little better.
Okay.
But it's also not first,
Got
once
it.
Again.
Okay.
I think the point of this, if I could put my brain into Spielberg's,
yes.
it's a good time to revisit the First Amendment.
Interesting.
So cool. We have The Post. It works as a good companion piece to All the President's Men, because this is The Washington Post in 1971.
Oh, yeah.
Pentagon Papers, All the President's Men, starts in 72 with the Watergate break-in.
Wow.
And
mm-hmm.
that's when The Post really came to prominence. Mm-hmm. They were still kind of a small family paper.
But yeah, you're
in 71.
Right. They're still big to this day. So would yeah. you recommend seeing this movie?
I would recommend seeing it,
okay,
yes.
Cool.
I didn't put it on my top 10 list, but it's very good.
Okay.
Andy, do you rate the movies like 1 to 5?
1 to 4, 1 to 5. No, I don't. But if I had to, I'd give it probably out of 4, probably 3.5.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm just curious.
We'll have to come up with a new Andy rating system. We used to do it with popcorns. Steve King and I used to do movie reviews, and we would do it with popcorns.
Okay, then I'm going to give it 3.5 kernels out of 4.
Or buckets. It has to
or
be buckets.
Yeah.
Buckets of corn.
If you prefer to eat a bucket, that's great.
Well, yeah. Or
if you
we'll
like Junior
Mints. Yeah, we'll come up with something.
Yeah.
Okay, so 3.5 stars, go see it.
I would see that, yes.
Okay.
Now, also opening this weekend is I, Tonya, which is revisits
oh,
the...
I can't wait
Tonya.
To see
Okay,
that.
Don't waste your time.
Oh!
I'm sorry, it's not very good.
Is Margot Robbie bad?
Margot Robbie is...
Bad.
No, she's actually very good.
Well, then I want to see it.
There are... Well, first of all... Well, let's say there are structural problems with
okay.
it. I don't like the way it's set up with interviews. All
oh.
the people involved, I don't think Nancy Kerrigan, but Tonya Harding.
The real people are in it?
No. Margot Robbie as...
Oh, got it. So Jeff Galluli's
Tonya Harding.
In it.
Jeff Galluli is played by an actor named Sebastian Stan. He's in it. Margot Robbie's boorish, abusive mother played by Allison Janney.
I love Allison Janney.
They all speak to the audience like someone is interviewing them, and then we go back to the story.
Oh.
And then it breaks with more interviews.
Okay,
and
so you don't like the way I can see
I don't
how
like,
that would
yeah,
be annoying.
I don't like that. Mm. Plus, it's got a very apologetic tone. You see the end. When you get to the end of this, you realize Tonya Harding doesn't think Tonya Harding's responsible for anything.
Oh.
He's the Hillary Clinton of
oh.
athletes here, okay?
yes, he just said that, people. It's good. I like
we
opinions.
We do not endorse any.
Right.
No,
but
I don't either.
We're good with opinions.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't feel like it had any surprises.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't
did
know.
You,
okay.
Did it? Do you know she was in Playboy magazine?
Yes, that's part of this.
She had a boob job and was in Playboy. Is
yes.
that in the movie?
The fact that she is in Playboy is in the movie.
Okay, I was just yeah. curious because that was just
Not
a
that
weird
other secret. You were
they'll
no,
put
the other
they'll
secret.
Put anybody famous,
on,
you know, if they can sell some
yeah.
some copies. So yeah, I thought whoa.
But as far as her. Abusive mother. I didn't know that for a fact, but it didn't surprise me.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Galluli, her on again, off again boyfriend.
Yeah, he was
totally abusive
controlling,
too.
Yes.
I didn't know that, but
yeah.
it didn't surprise me.
Right.
Nothing
okay,
in here surprised
it.
Me.
Interesting.
And personally, I really don't want to revisit that episode
in
sports
America
history.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so what's life. Next? The Pacers brawl in Detroit? Are we talking about a movie about that?
You know, that could be good, though.
I say no. No.
Whatever happened to Metta World Peace?
Oh, I don't know. I think he retired.
Okay.
But I'm...
So don't go see that one.
I would... No, pass.
How many popcorns?
Oh, my.
One? Point...
None? 1.5 to 2.
Okay, so not...
Really not good.
Maybe we should wait till it comes out on DVD.
And that'll be in a few months. We can discuss it then, but I'm still not going to like it any better than I do now.
Well, speaking of DVDs.
We do have some new things on DVD that boomers would be interested in.
Please do tell.
I think some boomers are going to want to see It, based on the Stephen King novel.
No.
Oh.
Some boomers are going to want to see it. I
yeah,
would not recommend
my husband.
It.
Yeah.
Did he see it?
No, he read the book and you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
I won't go see it. He can see that without me. Mm.
This is scary, and it's scarier than the one that was on TV where Tim Curry played
yes.
the clown, and
Tim Curry.
He was great in a funny sort of way. Mm-hmm. He wasn't scary. This one really is.
It's scary and creepy.
Well, why did you say not to go see it? Because it's so scary?
Because this is the kind of book that should have remained a book.
Mm.
Okay.
Sometimes they just don't.
They don't adapt
translate.
Well. Because whatever we can imagine, however we imagine this clown in our minds, is scarier than anything a director can put on the screen.
Got it.
And same here. The kids are really good. They're all wonderful actors, and the screenplay, their dialogue, is really interesting and really good.
Okay.
What I would have liked to have seen is maybe take those characters and give them a real-world story, not a scary clown vision that they all see, but have them do something more like Rob Reiner's Stand By Me, mm-hmm. 1986. That was mm-hmm. based on a Stephen King novel, but mm-hmm. there was nothing otherworldly about it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have preferred something like that here.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would shy away from that one.
Okay.
We've also got Marshall just came out. That's one about Thurgood Marshall, the former Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah,
That is good. It's not great.
Who plays Marshall? Who plays him?
Chadwick Boseman. Okay, he's already played Jackie Robinson and James Brown, and now he plays Thurgood Marshall.
Wow, he must be good actor.
He is very good, but I would call this movie Freedman and not Marshall. It's not a biography of Thurgood Marshall. It's about one court case early in his career, 1941, so long before he was ever on the Supreme Court.
Okay.
But Freedman is this insurance lawyer that he gets to help him try this case. Freedman is from the state in which the case is tried.
Ah.
Marshall is not.
They do that often. They did that with the Tyson trial. He had some local people as well as
and
the
some
big
national
people. They do
that
a lot.
Josh Gad, who played LeFou in the live-action Beauty and the Beast, he's Sam Friedman.
Okay.
And he's the one who experiences personal growth in this movie. He learns about criminal defense, how to try a criminal defense case. He learns about African-Americans' obstacles they faced in 1941. Marshall is an unchanging character. He's perfect at the beginning, he's perfect in the middle, and he's perfect at the... In fact, he's almost too perfect. I would have liked to have seen some character flaw.
Here and there.
I mean, he couldn't have
been
perfect.
Doesn't brush his teeth at night, something.
Something like that, yes. And much as with I, Tonya, I don't think I learned anything about Marshall that I couldn't have imagined going in.
Seems so stoic. I don't really know a lot about him.
I don't either, and I didn't learn much about him personally with this, but it did make for a good courtroom trial.
Okay.
You know, a courtroom drama.
Like
drama's
stories.
Always good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's good. Probably three popcorns out of four.
Got it.
There's also, now we're going to go back to Watergate here from Mark Felt. Mark Felt, the man who brought down the White House, is coming out. It just came out on DVD Blu-ray. It has Liam Neeson playing Mark Felt.
I love Liam Neeson.
Mark Felt, the man who brought down the White House.
That's the name of the movie?
That's the name of the movie. I know it's a terrible name, but that's it.
Yeah. That's why I didn't believe that.
Okay.
And it's on DVD.
On DVD.
Okay, got it.
Mark Felt was Deep Throat. That's the informant for Woodward.
Yes.
It
finally came out.
He came out 3 years before he died.
Okay.
Yeah. He was second in command to J. Edgar Hoover.
Wow.
When J. Edgar Hoover died, he assumed he was going to be appointed to the top spot in the FBI. Nixon appointed somebody around him, L. Patrick Gray, who was not even in the FBI. He was an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
So what I never learned in this movie, did Mark Felt leak the Watergate story to Bob Woodward?
Because of
as
Nixon.
Revenge?
Yeah.
Or was it because he believed so strongly in the First Amendment? Or
we don't find out?
Or a combination of both.
What?
We really don't. No, and this is a boring movie. It really is. There are a lot of hushed late night phone calls.
That's the way Deep Throat was.
I'm fully aware. But if you take the same story, I'm going to go back to All the President's Men. You take the same story and tell it from the point of view of Woodward and Bernstein. Now it's fascinating.
Yes.
Now you've got the journalistic discovery element that you're missing here. Felt already knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really... It's a static movie.
Okay.
We don't move anywhere with
it.
I would not recommend it.
Okay.
Probably two popcorns at the most.
Andy, we're running out of time. Do you have one more you can you tell us about in a minute?
Opening next week is the new Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, yeah. That looks kind of bizarre.
When I was on my high school radio – I'm sorry, my college radio station, Blade Runner Original came out. And I said
– You're
as like
old
to,
as me. No,
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That old?
Embrace it.
I said – that it would be great to watch with the sound down. Oh. It looks great, but a very convoluted plot.
Like maybe play some music, some techno pop
while you're watching. Exactly the same thing true here. Huh. A convoluted plot that did not interest me one bit.
That's funny.
Ryan Gosling, who I liked in La La Land, is the lead in this, and he's just downright boring. It doesn't become interesting until we revisit Harrison Ford's old character in the final act. So I can't recommend it. And that opens next week. That comes out on DVD Blu-ray next week.
Andy Ray, I like you a lot.
Thank you.
You're very opinionated and you make me laugh.
You're in trouble, Andy.
I am so sorry.
You're in trouble. You're going to be back. Is that cool?
That's great.
I like you. So we can see more of your critiques at artschannelindie.com.
Artschannelindie.com. A-R-T-S, like the arts. channelindie.com. Mm-hmm. It's a site that covers all the arts, theater, and music and so forth in the Indianapolis area, and the movie reviews are mine.
Did you have fun with us?
I had a lot of fun.
Good.
Can't wait to come back. Absolutely.
Okay, great.
We've
always got more coming out. Yeah.
We don't have very many encore performances, but you will be back.
Okay, thank you.
And audience, thank you for listening again today. You're listening to Boomer Radio. We'll be back next Saturday at 4:30 right here on Freedom 95.
This has been Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson. Join us again next Saturday at 4:30.